the great talent that we used to have. A lot of them quit. They left the industry altogether because of the pandemic. And I can see that happen again once things open up. If we don't have many shifts to give them, many hours for them, then we're probably going to see this sort of a thing again. It's just going to be crazy. It's tough. It's really tough.
This week on Dirty Linen, we are coming to you from Melbourne in lockdown number 4. We are hanging in there. I think it's really important to speak to people in all different parts of our community. So today we are chatting to Pranav Kapoor. Pranav is a graduate student. He's from India. He's working at a 5-star hotel in Melbourne, and he's studied hospitality over in Adelaide. Pranav, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Thanks, Dani.
I'm so happy to have you on the show. I met you last year during our terrible long lockdown. I'd love you to talk a bit about your time in Australia and particularly how you've been going over the past year and a half.
Yes, I came to Australia in 2016. I started off with Adelaide. That's where I did my master's in international hospitality. I was there for about 2 years studying and working at the same time. Post that, I got an opportunity to go to Queensland, far north Queensland in Port Douglas. I worked at another hotel over there for about a year. And after that, I migrated to Melbourne, and I've been here since. So this was 2018, and Melbourne's been home since then.
Well, I would first like to say thank you so much for sticking it out in Melbourne when it's been so tough. And I'm sure you could have got work anywhere around the country with your, you know, skills, experience and academic qualifications. So, yeah, why have you actually stayed here?
Oh, no, Melbourne's great. I was actually sort of living a nomad lifestyle. But since the time that I moved to Melbourne, there's... I see a lot of opportunity here. The food is amazing. The bars are amazing, and I think that's really what's kept me here. Nothing else but food and the beverage and the wineries and the gins.
Great. Well, yeah. we're really lucky about that. I know you've worked in hotels for more than a decade. You've got experience internationally as well. Can you tell us a bit about that experience and what it is about the hotel offering that keeps drawing you in?
It's very different from working in, let's say, a standalone restaurant. My dad used to own a standalone restaurant while I was working in hotels, and I just feel it's a different challenge. Because you've got these different hierarchies, and it's a different sort of operation, really. And it's just the five star hotels. It's the clientele that I like to serve to. That's what that's what kept me stuck to hotels, really.
Interesting. And so you're managing the coffee shop, restaurant and bar at one of Melbourne's popular 5-star hotels now, although I suspect it's not actually very popular at this very minute while we're in lockdown. We spoke a few weeks ago and you were so busy, like working 12-hour days because there's no staff around, and it must be so crazy to be stood down once again and, you know, have all this time on your hands. Can you talk about this roller coaster of COVID for you?
Well, it is such a roller coaster, like you're saying, because we were going through this challenge of getting the right talent to come and work with us. And because last year during the pandemic, the government stopped supporting the students and the temporary visa holders, and they've made their way back home. They've left Australia, and Australia is going through such a challenge now, especially in tourism and hospitality. There's such less talent out there, and the biggest challenge was to first get them in, to even get them to interview, to get them to apply. And now with this lockdown, the challenge would be once things open up, the hotel's not going to get busy very soon, the next challenge would be now have so many people. Earlier, I didn't have people. Now I have people, but not many shifts. Once things open up, I'm assuming. So that's going to be another challenge to keep them motivated and to make them stay on the roster somehow.
Yeah, I've heard that from other business owners. You know, they're just terrified that the staff that they fought so hard to find will, you know, go and get a job doing something else because the hospitality and tourism industries just seem so dicey at the moment.
Oh, tell me about it. It's going to be quite a task, really, to somehow to keep them engaged, to keep them motivated, and reassure them that we will have work for them soon. But it's difficult to promise anything at this stage.
So it's really hard. And of course, I suppose you'll have to go back to work with a mind on the future and it getting busier. So will you also be, you know, looking for fresh recruits, even as you're looking for enough shifts for the people that you currently have on the roster?
Totally, because I think there's just a pattern that we're seeing of people leaving, the great talent that we used to have, a lot of them quit. They left the industry altogether because of the pandemic. And I can see that happen again once things open up. If we don't have many shifts to give them, many hours for them, then we're probably going to see this sort of a thing again, experience this sort of a thing again. And it's just going to be crazy, just hiring, recruiting. It's tough. It's really tough. I cannot put it in words how tough it is.
Well, I mean, you can see it from, you know, you can see it from lots of different angles. You know, you've got the employer side of it, but you've also got that temporary visa holder side of it. You know, you're part of this segment of the population that wasn't looked after during this pandemic, and you can, you know, you better than many of us can understand why people went back to their countries of origin. I mean, when you sort of step back from the day-to-day difficulties of rostering and finding staff, how do you look at this immigration system that we've got here? And yeah, I mean, what do you think of it? And what do you think are the problems? Can you see anything that can be done to fix it?
Well, I think the good thing is that the government is taking certain steps to retain the people that are in the country at this stage. So I can see that they've started allowing students to work more than the 20-hour per week limit, which is excellent and which is a big help to hospitality. I can see that the Queensland government is trying to put an incentive to people who migrate to Queensland. So I believe they put a $1,500 incentive, plus they were covering the flight expense up to $250, which is another, it's again a great help over there for Queensland. And then even with the $500 payment, which is I believe starting tomorrow to Tuesday for everybody. So I think I believe the government has included the students as well as the temporary visa holders to get some sort of payment even while they're sitting at home, depending on how much they would work on an average just before the lockdown, which is excellent.
It is amazing that the federal government's included visa holders in this COVID disaster payment. I think, you know, as the applications open this week, it will be interesting to see how hard it is for people who aren't part of that Services Australia Centrelink infrastructure, that system, to actually get the money. I've already, identified a couple of difficulties, you know, that you, it's not as simple as just, you know, calling the 1-800 number and getting the money put into your account. So it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. But it is, yeah, I agree with you. Like at least there's an acknowledgement that these people are members of our community and should be supported.
Oh, 100%. And I speak for everybody. I speak for all the students. I speak for all the temporary visa holders. I speak for everybody that was not getting any sort of payment in any of the lockdowns earlier. A big thank you to the big thanks to the federal government for including all of us. This would just mean that that people are stay at home, they stay motivated, and they just sort of cover the expense during the lockdown. They get through the lockdown, and once things open up, we will have work for them. And I think that's what the government should be looking at the future, try to retain these people, retain the talent, so that it helps the industry. It doesn't make things more difficult once things open up.
Because how hard was it for you last year, Pranav?
I can't even explain. I was stood down from work, and I had no work really. And that's when we met last year. And you helped me there get some work. But apart from that, I was also doing a delivery job on my motorcycle in peak winter in June, July, and August. It was the toughest. I never experienced myself being a delivery driver, delivering food on a motorcycle in 2 degrees, 4 degrees, in the rain as well. It was tough. It was scary. It was risky. My mom would always tell me, Pranav, just go back home. It's risky. Just don't do it. But I would tell her that, listen, I know it's tough, but this is all temporary, and I just need to look at it as a temporary thing, and things will fall back into place. It's better than sitting at home.
Oh, Pranav, I'm so, even though I know you came through it, I'm so scared for you, thinking back to you on those slippery roads on your motorbike when it's not something that you'd been used to doing. Was it miserable?
It was, and I thought it wouldn't be as difficult, but only once you experience it yourself. When you're out, I used to be out 12 hours a day, and you think that I would make at least, I don't know, 12 hours, probably about $200, $250, something. I would end up with just $100 a day. So you put your 12 hours for just $100, but how you stay motivated and you don't take a day off, you work 7 days to make $700 a week. It was tough. It was a good learning. I'll put it this way. It was a good learning. I have immense respect for everybody doing that job now. And I thank them every time somebody delivers my food. I thank them. And I have a lot of respect.
There were so many terrible stories about people, temporary visa holders, who were riding for Uber or Deliveroo or whoever it was, and getting into accidents. There were some people that were killed on the roads, and experience in those conditions, of course, doesn't protect you necessarily, but I just thought of people who were inexperienced and forced into that situation. It was just so awful to think about.
No, because I tried looking for all sorts of jobs. I tried looking for barista jobs. I tried looking for cleaning jobs. I tried looking for sanitization jobs around the city. I couldn't get anywhere. And that's where I was like, you know what? I can't find anything. And I think this is it. This is what I have to do now. And that's what I did then.
So, you've explained, really, really well the difficulties of the job in a practical sense, and the fact that it wasn't easy to earn enough money to live doing those deliveries. But what about the way that work is structured? Did you feel that it was fair? It was just how it was, that you couldn't make enough money? Or did you feel that there was something really structurally wrong with that industry?
I think the way the delivery drivers are paid, it's not right. It's not enough. The company I was working with wasn't that fair with the way they were paying. I'm not sure how they're paying at this moment, because I know even the delivery apps now, the platforms like Uber Eats, DoorDash, etc., even they're struggling with getting people, because they went back to their jobs once things opened up. It wasn't fair. Like I said, 12 hours, you earn $100. It's obviously something's not right.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know there's been a court case recently that will be appealed, where basically the judgment was that people who were working under a contractual basis for those delivery companies are in effect employees and thus should be eligible for minimum conditions. So hopefully there'll be some changes with that. But
yeah, I think an hourly rate is more fair than getting paid per delivery. Because even with deliveries, you know, there are peak periods, there are quiet periods, but what they don't realize is somebody is out there for you, for your company, 12 hours. It's only fair to pay them an hourly wage rather than pay per delivery, because the what they offer per delivery is peanuts.
Yeah. And, you know, if I was your mom, I would have been saying exactly the same things, like, Pranav, get off the road. Tell us about your family back home. Like, obviously, the situation in India has been devastating from the COVID point of view. Tell us about your family. How are they? How have they been keeping?
They've been keeping pretty well. They did get the virus about 2 months ago, but they're all healthy. They're safe. They're keeping well. That's what matters. When the pandemic hit, my parents told me that, you know, I'm still alive and I'm here to support you. But, you know, they've, as parents, they've already done so much and you can't just keep asking every fortnight or every month to send you money when they're sending money in rupees. You know, it's much more expensive. Things are much more expensive. And also you start getting into a comfort zone if your parents are sending you money. So I just said, no, you know what? I'm still quite young. I'll find something with my two hands and two legs working, so don't worry.
Oh, well, I'm glad you came through that difficult period, and here we are again in a difficult period. How do you feel about your working situation at the moment?
My working situation at the moment, like I said, I from time to time, at this stage, I still have some admin work to do. So I do come into work probably twice a week or maybe once a week. There could be sometimes working from home, but if this continues, obviously, I'd be sort of stood down again. But I hope the federal government keeps supporting the temporary visa holders and the students just to retain them, because once things open up, hospitality is the worst to get hit. Once things open up, people will want to travel, will want to go to restaurants, will want to go to bars. And if they don't retain these people, it's going to be tougher.
Yeah, I think anybody that's in the industry has already realized that. And of course, people that are going to restaurants or finding that they can't go to restaurants because they're not open as much as they used to be. I mean, that's also one of the flow and impacts of the staffing crisis. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of flow on effects. I guess, you know, we're still a long way, it seems, from open borders and international travel. Tell us what you think the impacts of that are going to be.
Well, with hotels, with Australia, with hotels, even with restaurants, a lot of cities, be it Melbourne. Melbourne is so cultural; it really relies on the travel, national as well as international. And I think things will start booming only once that travel starts. The national travel has been a big help. But obviously, international travel will be much more helpful once we have the students back coming back to the country. Once we have more people visiting the country, businesses will obviously start making more money, and there'll be more jobs to offer. And that's the way, only way it's going to help the economy. I'm not too sure. I'm not in any position to say whether stopping travel is a good call or a bad call. But obviously, once it starts, it's going to be of big help to the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Until we went back into lockdown and the hotel was busy. Who was it that was coming? Was it people having a staycation from the suburbs of Melbourne? Was it people from interstate? What kind of people were coming in?
Yes, mostly people coming for staycations, people who had missed out on their birthdays, anniversaries, people missed out on their weddings. So, yeah, all those people who missed out on their international holidays, yeah, just finding a reason, traveling to Melbourne for these purposes, to celebrate.
It must have been a really good feeling to be in amongst some of those catch-up celebrations.
Oh, 100%. Everybody had plans. Yeah, you meet them, you talk to them, and you just realize that how many people's plans got cancelled due to COVID. But they were there with us, celebrating with us, which is beautiful.
Yeah, you really, in that environment in a hotel, you really must see people at some of the most important times of their lives. Is that one of the things that you love about it, about offering that hospitality in that setting?
Yes, it's about offering that hospitality. It's about offering that personalized service, I would say, that I really look for and that I like to deliver.
Well, once again, I feel so lucky that you've stayed, that you've come to Melbourne and that you've stayed, Pranav. Tell us, give us a bit of optimism. So let's hope we come out of this lockdown swiftly and things can start to get back to where they were and even better. Well, what do you think Melbourne's going to feel like as we come out of lockdown number four?
It's going to be completely different. It's going to be once everything's back into business, I think Melbourne is going to be back how it used to be, or even better, I would say. Because it has been a very cultural city. People travel here for different reasons, for business, for sports, for the art, and I think for the food, of course, for the wineries, for the distilleries, and I think all of that, once everything, all of that is back up and running, I think it's going to be back like the good old days. Yeah, that's how I see it.
And what about you personally, like apart from work and all the stuff that you're going to have to do there, what's something that you're really looking forward to enjoying in Melbourne again?
I want to travel more than beyond the 10 kilometer limit, to be honest. I want to go to Toulon to visit a dear friend. I want him to come visit me. I want to go to Queensland, have another holiday. I want to live a normal life without restrictions.
Yes, well, I think we can all join you in that wish. Pranav, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, I just like everybody to just, like they say, you know, hang in there. We will get there together. Everybody, as long as everybody is carrying out the right practices, Melbourne's going to be up and running like it used to be.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. It's really, really a privilege to talk to you, Pranav. And stay safe, stay well, and cannot wait to visit you in the busy hotel.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about. We spend a week thrashing around each issue, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.